I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Survivor Specials, Phil and Alexa are back with the Survivor 45 Episode 9 recap. We have lost Kendra. Back-to-back bellows. Kendra is gone, but... most importantly, as Patrick Stahl says here at the bottom of our screen, we have Parva D 2.0. You know what that means? Can't lose.
Oh, Do you know what that means? She should have been voted out a month and a half ago.
She should have been the first person voted out of this season. But Survivor 45 has given us what we've all wanted, and that's for one of these female players who claims to be Parvati, even though I don't think she claimed, but that other people claim to be Parvati, to actually go out there.
I'm actually shocked no one's called her that yet.
I know, and pretend to be Parvati. But anyway, Kendra's gone. Alexa is doing her best Vito Corleone. So anybody
I forgot my glass of whiskey.
I know. Really, what you need is a cat. If you haven't seen the beginning of The Godfather in a long time, or he's just sitting there petting the cat, that's really what you need right now. Alexa's in a new location. I would love it if this became the permanent location, because that would tell you everything about why she's leaving this podcast, and it's because she's much wealthier than me now.
I came into all this money. Now I live in this mahogany room.
Yeah, exactly. I can smell that room. I really can. I can smell the papers that have been sitting on that desk for years.
They haven't moved. It's actually all the dust just
wafting around. But we are going to talk about what I think is going to go down as one of the most polarizing episodes of this season. And the reason I think that is because Alexa had a very different reaction to this than I did. And I'm excited to talk about it. Yeah, we haven't had that much this season, but I tweeted this from my own account. And I retweeted it then from the specialist account, which is great knowing every time you tweet that you're going to get at least one retweet. It's unbelievable.
Feeling. There's also no worse feeling than...
that's the only one.
Retweeting yourself. It's like when there was one, like, it was my birthday.
It was your birthday, yeah.
My birthday a few years ago, and Phil texted me. He's like, post about yourself for your birthday. Let me tell you what's sad. Wishing yourself a happy birthday on your Finsta.
Yeah, and then... retweeting yourself from your personal or whatever, you know, reposting from your personal, pretending you didn't just make that post. But
it's not great.
I posted this from my personal and I'm standing by it. D is my winner pick. I think D's going to win. I do want D to win, but I demand a Terry run from Bruce right now, because my God, is this great TV. I am so happy. I really am. And like, I'm not just saying this because I've interacted with the man. I'm saying this because from a TV perspective, we finally saw the payoff of why Bruce was being thrown under a bus and just backed up over and over and over again.
Absolutely.
Tonight's episode was really good for him. And I'm glad the editors finally showed this, of him finding out that Kelly was getting ready to vote for him and how that hurt him and how he was upset by that and how he was going to pout about it. But then he figured he couldn't just pout about it. He needs to do whatever. He's going to play his idol. We all know he's going to play his idol. And instead he goes out and wins immunity and he gets to keep his idol. I'm really in on that version of this Bruce story. And it feels like it's turned a corner. Kelly says, that's the reason why I'm sitting over here, when he comes in with the necklace on. And she seemed bitter while saying that, but she's pissed. But at the same time, think about that when you're casting your jury vote. If Bruce is sitting there at final three, the reason you're sitting on the jury is because Bruce won immunity. Now, Bruce, the way I look at it is Bruce is in the final seven because he has a hidden immunity idol still. And with the bellows getting picked off one by one by one by one, I think the first time he doesn't win immunity, he's using that idol. So if Bruce keeps going, then Bruce is going to just keep going a little bit further, a little bit further. I'd love to see him make a finale, especially with the way that his edit has gone. But yeah, this felt like a growth arc for him. That was one big takeaway. The other big takeaway was D gets what she wants when she wants it. And that is the biggest thing from this episode, I think. She wanted Kendra out, and everybody said, all right, we'll get Kendra out. Even when they pushed back, it landed on who D wanted to go home. So What do you got? You got the crossed arms. I feel like I'm on The Apprentice and I'm about to get.
I know. I feel like, I don't know where to put my hands.
I love this. Like, Ricky Bobby going on for poor Alexa.
Or I should put my feet up on the desk.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And the microphone would be super far away. That'd be fun.
Exactly. Yeah. She had the most pushback tonight and no one, it still wasn't even a problem. I think, what else are we talking about? What you were saying something about before.
Bruce winning.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I think this was like the best iteration of like the unself-aware person, because a lot of times we don't get that end cap of them sort of figuring it out. And maybe this is just me, but I think we have all felt that before, where there's a quality about ourselves that people don't like. And to have that directly told to you, actually indirectly told you, that's what's almost worse about this. He kind of had to learn this on his own. And then for him to say, well, I didn't treat her any differently than I treat the people that I love, so what is wrong with me? That is a very hard thing to talk to yourself about. And that is, not a lot of people are big enough or self-aware enough or want to improve themselves enough to do that. So maybe I was a little emotional after our Patreon podcast, which everyone should listen to, become a patron, patreon.com.
Yeah, our $10 patreon episode was sick today.
That was a really good one.
It was a good one.
I think I was, that really like moved me, and I really feel for him. And that's like, I don't want to say we've all been there, but that is a feeling that's really hard to grapple with. And I thought that was amazing. And what's cool is like, Kelly hasn't got, like the players haven't gotten there yet. He's gotten there. And then I'm actually really surprised that they didn't flip these confessionals. Bruce has this like soul altering moment. And then Drew's like, this guy, I really am surprised that they didn't do Drew's confessional first and then end with Bruce having that moment. But I think now we are like, they are really pushing the Drew's a pain in the butt thing on us. Yeah. So I think that was aptly placed.
Yeah, I agree with that. And next week we have in the preview Jake saying you're not God's gift or whatever, something along those lines towards Drew. Coming. And I think that Drew's, you know, air quotes, condescending nature, his tone is going to start coming out here. But going to the Bruce thing, I think I talk about it a lot when I talk about the casting for this show and what makes a good casting decision on this show. And I firmly believe that you need to cast people who know who they are. And that's why, like, and you can have one or two people who don't necessarily know who they are and they are going on this journey to find themselves. But even the underdog characters, the Aubreys, the David Wrights, these people that we really watch their journeys as they overcame such hardship, they knew who they were coming in. David can go out there and act like he's this David and not a Goliath. The guy was a writer on Family Guy. He's doing really well. Like, give me a break. He knows who he is as a person, and he knows where that's gotten him as a person. He knows his insecurities, and he knows what he's confident in. And Bruce, as a family man, ex-military, all this, I think he's ex-military, right? Because he's not still military.
Marine? Yeah, I don't
Navy,
remember.
Navy, I know. But
yeah,
but
he
so,
would be mad at us for not knowing.
Family man who's ex-military, who, you know, is learning that the people his daughter's age aren't necessarily liking him. And for him to say, I need to go home and maybe I need to talk to my daughter and figure out, am I giving her enough space? Am I overbearing towards her? Because every parent's going to be overbearing in some way, shape, or form. There's literally no way not to be unless you're an absent parent. But to be saying that at whatever age his daughter is at, if she is similarly aged to Kelly, is huge. And for him to sit there and mope about it and be upset, but also like really be more upset that he is not seeing this about himself rather than that other people are seeing it in him, I think is huge. There's a huge difference between those two things. Mm-hmm. If you are mad at others for saying that about you, that's a you problem. If you're mad at others because they're seeing something in you that you don't see, like, and so now you're mad at yourself and not even the others, I think that's huge. So I'm happy for him. I'm happy he won immunity. I'm glad that he's having a little bit of fun. And you know what? I said on the predictions episode, I think he has the 9th best chance to win. Well, he's in the top 8 now. And I'll tell you what, he moved above Katura tonight for me, because Katura really didn't have anything going on. And he moved above Jake because, man, Jake is going full-blown Boston here with that, whatever his movement was. I was like, damn, that was Northeast aggressive. I missed that.
I did not understand that. Yeah, but one last thing about the Bruce thing, and I don't even want to use this as a comparison, but I guess I'm about to. It's like, Phil and I get comments on YouTube all the time, and we used to get a lot of meaner comments. You guys have really, maybe we blocked all the mean people. I don't know where they went. But
I scared away the trolls.
There's like one out of every 20 critiques I get, I'm like, ooh, that one is like, that's real. Like, I need, that's a thing I gotta fix. And that takes, that's not to say like I'm so self-aware, but I think I am. And, but it takes a certain mindset, like this one that Bruce is talking about, to say, oh, I'm wrong, not, well, everyone else is wrong. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to admit when you're wrong. And I think that was fantastic. That was probably the only part about this episode that I liked.
Which is fun because we're going to talk about why you didn't like this episode. But I just, can you give me a second? Because after you said you're self-aware, I need to go hit my group chat of all the patrons and our fans and be like, can you believe she said that? How silly is she? Yeah.
Release like, the trolls on the comments.
Never has anybody been less self-aware than you. Like, what are you talking about? So you didn't like this episode. What did you not like? I want to, like, you don't have to give me everything at once, but what is it that is really driving you the most insane right now?
I think that this is like a very meta thing that's bothering me. This has happened twice in a row now. So the confessionals are being shown to us that are directly saying that the game construction is wrong. How many times have we complained production isn't not even interfering? They're not letting the players play. Not only are they not doing that anymore, and yes, I'm like, fine, they had the chance to win their vote back. But Emily directly said, I could try to change this, but now I cannot. There is no agency to these players. They have no, even the re before, that even they like had to scram a little bit. And I don't know what the point is, because Austin, you know, Jeff's like, Austin, what do you think? And he's like, oh, if I had a plan, it's out the window. Like that, at what point is that good? That's good once in a while, but how can you vote for someone in the end when no decision was their own, but who? I just really can't. How can you build a holistic game when day to day it's hard to build trust in people?
So I have a couple of things that I actually really appreciated in this episode that made me not so mad about the lost votes and such. And number the first point that I'm gonna say here, I didn't think I'd have this reaction.
I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked.
But the fact that they were able to win their votes back, I actually thought created a really interesting element. And it's one that is still getting, it's still getting too, maybe a little too meta. However, it added this nice element of you don't actually know how many votes there are. There could be six, there could be seven, there could be eight, there could be nine. You don't know how many there are. And I think this is a good twist because you are only going to know the truth if you have actually built up relationships with people. Now, I know that in these past couple of weeks, people are getting split up. They're going to different tribals. It's been nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. It's all moving very quick. I get that. But at this point, they have been living on the same beach, whatever you want to call it, for 3 or 4 days. You've gotten to know everybody. You've gotten to talk to everybody in some capacity. You have the ability to talk to others and figure out how you can maneuver your way into a situation and get information from them. So tonight, Kendra didn't even think that it was possible that somebody could be lying about getting their vote back. And the fact that all three of them went off separately, I thought was really good. I thought that was really cool for the game because now nobody can fact check you except yourself. And you get to go out there and like Austin did, you get to tell everybody, I don't have my vote. But you then go tell your alliance members, I do have my vote. Mm-hmm. You also, though, if you're Drew, Austin, D, and Julie, you don't know if Emily is lying. You don't know if Keturah is lying because you haven't built up that relationship with them to that point. Everybody could have been lying about how many votes there were. So you still have to take a chance when you're making this vote. So I actually liked that element of it, and I thought that was good. And my major takeaway from this, and something that I definitely want to talk about, is they picked their teams.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Was that a thing of beauty? That needs to be the status quo moving forward because they picked their teams. Anybody who goes home or loses something or gets screwed in that situation, you had a hand in making your decision. It wasn't a rock that did it. And I think that's very important.
Yeah. I think the fact that they had an opportunity to win back their vote was like a saving grace to it. I completely agree with you. I think like having anything random that has those kind of implications is not good. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that they had the opportunity to win their vote back. How did you feel? Do you think you could have gotten that?
Yeah, I literally figured it out. I was doing it and I wasn't watching and I was just like listening to what they were saying. And then Austin goes, yeah, I figured it out. And he doesn't say how he solved it. So I'm doing it. And I look at it and I go, oh, I figured it out. And I was literally like 2 seconds behind them. And I know that they're doing it edited. So yeah, I was killing it.
Dang, good for
you. Well, because so the way that worked was the plus or the first plus or the first minus had to be after 98. It didn't have a choice because you have 98. That's a high number. So you're already close to 100. Mm-hmm. So you could go plus 7. Maybe, or plus 76, and that would bring you up to 174, and then can you drop it back down? Or you could go minus 7 or minus 76, and then you're working with lower numbers down the end. Once you got through the beginning part of that, you were down to 76 with three numbers left, and then it was very easy to figure out where to put the last plus. So I actually did figure it out, but I also, like, ate dinner 2 hours ago, and, like, I took a nap yesterday, you know, like I'm not that
dead. Yeah, you're rested.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was crazy hard. I didn't try. I can't try it, but I like that they're bringing math back because math is like sort of this, it's the universal language. It's very fair. And I really loved how Emily tonight, I think she was a really good like ambassador like we were watching, we're like, well, just financial investment analysts, whatever those people do, as assuming that their whole job is to just like add up to 100.
Yeah.
And
yeah. She, without clues, you know.
Right. Like, I don't know what she does, but I don't think it's that. For her to like take it so, like to be so hard on herself too, I think was really unique. And that was another thing that bothered me. She was like, it's my fault that I don't vote. I'm like, that's freaking not. But mm-hmm. in the context of the game, it is. And it was, I felt for Emily the whole night. I was like following her emotions there. But I agree with you. I think them being able to choose is good. Them being able to choose the tribes is good. The opportunity to win their vote back, if they can do that in every situation, or they always consent to losing their vote before they offer to lose mm-hmm. their vote, I can work with that. That's fine. But I really don't think... I don't know what they're trying to prevent with the lost votes.
I don't think they were trying to prevent anything tonight.
In general.
They wanted the chaos of you don't know how many votes are going to be there. And I think they wanted to test that out because I don't think we've really seen it where it's open knowledge to every single person that there could be an array of votes. We know that certain people could go and lose a vote. So you're going into tribal saying, oh, we might have 5. We might have 6. We don't know. But we've never seen a situation where it could be 6, 7, 8, or 9. There's a lot of different variables that go into that. And I think that's why they did it this way. So I was fine with it once I found out that they had a chance to get it back. I know a lot of people on Twitter and stuff were not happy, and I guess I should start calling it X at some point. But I know
weren't everyone is happy. Like collectively just not.
But I was totally fine with it. I really was. Like, I thought it was going to bother me so much more. But everything that went into this was a positive. You had some sort of control. You chose your team. You participated in the challenge. You got a chance to get your vote back. I get, you know, people, oh, I couldn't solve a math problem, so now I can't do anything. Okay, but sometimes that's how Survivor goes. We have seen literal math problems be an immunity challenge, a person win that was about to go home, and now they can't vote that person off. How is that really any different from this? Oh, well, they won the math problem, so now I can't vote them out. Okay, I couldn't figure out the math problem, so now I can't vote this person out. It's really not that much different. So I'm okay with it because they had control.
Yeah, I don't like the math problem, like, is what it is. That's, like you said, it's always been on Survivor. Oh God, it's lost my train of thought. I don't know. It's all that rotisserie chicken. It's just
all that. Well, I'm going to throw this up real quick, just
like
because
chicken drunk.
Jimbo Slice says you are just closet Reba fans. I swear, I'm not a closet Reba fan. I'm a massive Reba fan. I have been very vocal that I love Reba. I love this alliance, and I want this alliance to succeed. I love this alliance, and I always liked it more than Bello. I'm not a closet.
But also, is Bello in a? Were they ever an alliance? It sounds like probably not.
No, I mean, Katara immediately went over. So sorry, go ahead.
Is how this fits into the greater context of this season. And this is another thing. Julie, again, she was like, well, Jeff won't even let us vote. And that's true. Like, again, will there ever be just a clean vote in Survivor anymore? I don't think so. And I don't think that's good for the show. Please correct me. And I'm even including pre-merges where there's a chance to lose your vote. And I'm not counting quits. Like, When will the players sit down and vote for each other? And I can't believe I'm saying this, but include advantages.
Yeah. You know,
like, that's fine. I really just dividing them up, the vote, taking votes, all this stuff, it is not a cohesive game. And we talked in our Patreon podcast about all these blowout votes. Perhaps this has a little bit to do with it because people can't even... I don't know if Jake is the best example of this. I'm sorry, Jake, I love you. But if you're on the bottom, how do you even remotely climb up now? Relationships don't matter.
But so let me ask you this, though. Let's say tonight, let's say this happens. Mm-hmm. We get this split. The same team loses, Austin, Katara, and Emily. Austin and Emily both lose their votes, and Katara figures it out and gets her vote. Guess what? 4-3. Blue. That's how they get it. That's four Bellows voting and only three Rebas voting. That's how it happens. That's how it works. Now the Rebas have all the advantages, so it seems like they're untouchable right now. But the reason that this seems obnoxious and over the top and whatever is because the Reba four were the ones who benefited from this twist. But that's because Austin's the one who got it.
Sure, but I think even if they blindsided a Reba tonight, it's still they're not the Bello group, like, isn't a real alliance, you know? It's not. I don't know.
So I guess the problem is then.
My problem is not who went home. Kendra, I think Kendra would go home no matter what. It's not. Bruce and Jake voted for her.
Yeah, they did. But I guess what I'm getting to is you were saying that how on the bottom do you ever get out of that, right? With all the twists and everything like that. And I think that's a fair question because I think that's what people are concerned about because there's been way too many. Look, I hate the twists and advantages. I talk down about that shit all the time. Like, that is my one of my number one things. But I think that a lot of it was circumstantial in terms of who did it. And the problem isn't so much that, oh, we have one. I mean, I'm reading the chat over here and people, boring Alliance Survivor. Jimbo Slice says, what? Alliance Survivor is boring Survivor. And a lot of people are agreeing with him. And
that's, I disagree with that.
Yeah, I totally disagree with that statement. I think that some of the best seasons ever are tight alliances going back and forth. And then that's why when a flip happens, it's awesome and it works. Or when Terry's going against the Kasaya 6, it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Also, this is really the first season where we've seen a dominant alliance in a long time because it's the 4 plus Emily. Yeah, we had the Tika 3 last year, but there were three of them. There are three of them battling their way through Final 12. That's not really alliance riding. Like you need to make the decision that makes the most sense. The problem isn't Reba. The problem is that Bello can't get together and work together. That's really what the problem is. Even if all of the votes and all of the twists went a different way, let's say the team with, you know, Austin, Katara, and Emily, let's say the team with Drew, Jake, and D loses. Jake keeps his vote. Drew and D don't vote. The problem is the Bellows aren't tight. I don't think Bruce, Kendra, Katara all vote together and agree, let's vote out one of these Reba people. Mm-hmm. And I, because Keturah immediately at the beginning of this episode, Keturah is being told about whatever, you know, about let's get out Julie. And she immediately, or let's get out D. We want to get rid of D. And she immediately goes over and betrays it. So it's not so much Reba's the problem. It's that they're cohesive and Bello's not. So even if Bello gets a Reba, let's say next week, Drew, D, Austin, or Julie go home. It doesn't feel like it shakes the status quo of this alliance because Bello still isn't anything. And that's the problem is, though, Bello, you can say, oh, they're more fun because they want to play and they want to be all over the place. They really didn't. All five of them were going to vote the same way last week and vote out one of the Reds or vote out Jake. Like, they all were on the same page to vote out a member, the four of them. They were just going to vote out Jake instead of one of the Rebas. Mm-hmm. That's not Reba's fault. And it's not that the Bellows are trying to play some crazy fluid game. They might say that, but the reality is they don't have options. So they're trying to find options. If they were in a tight group like that group of four is, there's no way they'd be trying to play a fluid game. It wouldn't happen.
I want to be very clear. I think the Reba Alliance is like one of the only good things that came out of this episode is they are a core alliance because they are talking about their relationships with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, so I am with you on that. That has never been my problem. That my problem is there's no clean vote.
Mm-hmm. And I agree.
I don't like that. I think that reward was an embarrassment. It's that
terrible.
Was absolute embarrassment. The only thing that I find funny, and I've always been so curious if Survivor looks at the calendar and does this, but this was at Winners of War. Tony put ash on Sarah's forehead and it happened to be Ash Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And it's a rotisserie chicken. It's the night before Thanksgiving. Like that, I'm like, you got it. Like, that's awesome. Like, you gotta be.
They were thinking about that. There's no way they weren't.
But that is, I'm sorry. That's just an embarrassment.
I mean, I wouldn't even.
You couldn't even give him a table.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no utensils, nothing. I mean, like, I think about
no sides.
No, when I lived in LA, I lived right next to a Ralph's, like literally like walked 2 minutes. So like if I like went on a run or like did something like that and then I came home and I was absolutely starving, I could imagine myself just like grabbing a leg off a rotisserie chicken from Ralph's. Like when I would get home, like I'd go buy it from Ralph's, bring it home and immediately rip that off. And I'd be like, you know, I really wish that I had a fork and knife because this thing is disgustingly buttery and greasy and disgusting. These poor people, like, I don't get it. I don't get what's the point of that for them to just be ripping off hunks. I just don't understand it. And to me, I do agree with you. I think they're thinking about the fact that it's the day before Thanksgiving, but like,
give them some stuff.
Cut these people up a meal. Like, this is ridiculous.
It's embarrassing. It's so bad. It's the sanctuary has been a joke, but it's so stupid. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
I don't even have much commentary on it. I think it's ridiculous. I'm thinking about, I was listening to a podcast that Leslie Neese was on earlier today. And I'm like, this woman walked out of a Buddhist temple because of her Christian faith. And now we're watching them like tear apart a rotisserie chicken. Like, what are we doing?
I love that Kendra hadn't eaten chicken in 15 years though and was like, I'm so doing good. It. I'm all about that. That's like, good drunk. Stuff.
She's got the meat sweats. Yeah. Like, girl, no one gets meat sweats from chicken. You must really be.
Yeah.
You must not be well.
I thought
that was so funny. That was
when incredible. She came to that moment of like, whoa, like I'm thinking differently. I almost, you know, the meatitarian in me wanted to be like, yeah, you're thinking clearly because you ate meat. It makes you think so clearly. Of course you're doing great.
If she eats a burger, like the world will collapse.
It does blow my mind. I will say this, people who drink, especially beer, and don't eat meat, I like struggle with that so much. I need meat when I drink a beer. I need chicken wings. I need like
vegetarians who drink.
Yeah. Like I like, and I get a lot of people do that or people just drink beer anyway, but every time I drink a beer, I require wings. I want to eat gross food. I just want to eat gross food, and vegetarian food's not that gross. That's the problem.
I guess you could eat French fries.
Yeah, but you gotta, what French fries are great, but French fries are great when they're smothered in cheese and like meat, you know, like that, like, what is it? The no yes fries from Miami. That's what I want.
It's been so long, man.
Yeah. Got those last year. It was glorious.
So good. Anyways.
So I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, you're not getting a vote. There's not a lot of agency. It's all that. But I think what the biggest problem with this season right now and what is frustrating people the most is this new era has been chaos, chaos, chaos. And I have gone on record saying a lot of votes don't make sense. I feel like a lot of players are just playing so that they can play a second time. They're not playing like they, like it is their second time. They're playing like they want to play a second time. And I think right now, every alliance needs a counter alliance or needs a thorn in their side. Mm-hmm. And right now, it doesn't feel like Reba has that. And I think Bruce and Jake are the best we're going to get. I think that one of them could make that happen. And suddenly it starts to become more interesting. Because if you think about it, Panama was the first season you ever watched. When you watch Panama live, you're saying to yourself, this is so boring. But you're rooting for Terry.
That's not what I was thinking.
No, but here's the thing. Like, I'm saying if you watched it now, okay, so not live, but if you went back and watched Panama now and you gave yourself a week in between every episode, you would, during that time of Nick, Austin, Sally, and Bruce, because then Bruce can kind of act, that's a rough stretch when you're going week to week and you're saying, okay, Terry keeps winning immunity, but eventually he's going to lose. But because Terry is a thorn in the Kasaya 6 side, it's enjoyable to watch as it gets going. And then when you rewatch the season, you say to yourself, oh, it's so good because he keeps going and you know how far he goes and you know how Sari and Aris and Danielle handle it and you know the ultimate outcome, but it's still fun to watch it play out. Right now, we don't know what the end game of this is. So we are sitting here going, okay, the Reba 4 are just going to win. The Reba 4 are just going to win. The Reba 4 are just going to win. One of them is going to win the game. That's not necessarily the case though. Next week, if D goes home, all of a sudden you say to yourself, okay, we just lost Kelly. We just lost Kendra. But now D goes home. Okay, that was shocking. That's going to change the landscape of the game. The frustration here, and it's a frustration I understand, I just think that it was handled as best as it could by production tonight, is you're not giving people the full agency to change the game by taking away their votes and making them have to work to just have a vote, which is something that everybody in the game should just have.
Yeah, and this season will be like an interesting case study because this is probably the closest we've ever gotten to a pagonging in like a decade. Mm-hmm. And I am not bothered by it.
No,
because this group is not, it's not like they're not talking to them. They're like, they're stringing Jake along. Like it's interesting. And I think that one of the benefits of casting super fans is that a super fan would never allow a pagonging to happen. And so this, I can't even say trust the cast anymore because I feel like people are going to unsubscribe and you don't need that starting in January.
Thanks.
It's like, really don't need that. But it's just, that's the baseline of it. There, you have to believe that this way before is, they are heading for a breakup. It is coming at us. And tonight was the first time we really saw like Julie and Dee really kind of grinding each other's gears a bit. And I am enjoying that in spite of the fact that they are also arguing about who is a vote and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think they could have been broken up sooner if Emily had a chance to vote tonight.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But I also feel like Emily she's struggling right now because she would have to go to Drew and tell Drew something, right? She could play that middle position at Final 9, but her closest ally is Drew in this game. And I do worry that with two idols out there, Drew is going to go back and tell somebody else. We're seeing a really interesting game of telephone on this season.
Yeah.
Somebody says something who then goes and tells somebody who then goes and tells somebody who then goes and tells somebody. And you're really seeing the hierarchy of where everybody feels like they are. And I feel like Emily would have had to have told somebody, but I'm not counting it out. So Jim, I'm picking on Jimbo because Jimbo's in here trolling like crazy right now. So
I haven't seen him in a while. Jimbo Slice
says it's Jake, then Katara, then Bruce. If Jake, Keturah, and Bruce are not the next three votes, and they survive not because of immunities, but because of like actual gameplay, we need like an apology or something. We need something. We need a, oh, Survivor still can surprise me, because you're very confident right now. And I think a lot of people are feeling that way. So I'm picking on Jimbo, but I'm talking to Survivor community as a whole, who is getting a little frustrated with this. It's two votes. We've had two votes where Bella went home. The frustration in reality of how this has gone down is it was the last three people out of the game are Caleb, Kelly, and Kendra. Three of the more popular players.
Yeah, we lost some heavy hitters.
That's not helping. And I tweeted that. I said that those, like, we lost those three people and we still have a great final eight.
Absolutely. And that's what's good. Like, this, I love, everyone remaining could win and I would love for them all to win. Mm-hmm. So it is an interesting group of people. And that's, I think that's what's also frustrating to me too. Like, I think Caleb onwards, anybody has a chance, has a really good chance to win, I think, except for Jake. I think Jake's he's gone. In big time trouble to not win $1 million, unfortunately. But and we're getting so much screen time. Just let them develop. Kelly was so pissed tonight. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it have been nice to see even more of how Bruce was rubbing her the wrong way?
Yeah.
Even more of how tight Kelly and Kendra were. Like, I knew they were, but did I? I didn't. Did you?
A little, just because they really harped on it at the beginning of the season. Right. With the three of them. They really harped on Kendra, Keturah, and Kelly. And it felt like Kendra and Keturah were much more involved in that than Kelly was. So, yeah, I do think that I knew that. But at the same time, I feel like Kendra was closer to Kelly than Kelly was to Kendra. So maybe that's why we weren't seeing.
Maybe. Yeah. That's a good point.
But I think Jake is toast. And that's why, like, so, yeah. So when I look at this and people are saying the next three votes are going to all be Bello, I think you'd be an absolute idiot to vote Jake out of this game right now. I think you'd be an absolute, Jake is a guaranteed person you beat no matter what you do the rest of the game at Final Tribal, because everybody is seeing his emotional reactions at Final Tribe or at Tribal Council.
So what was that?
I think he was mimicking Jeff, but I also feel like there was probably something that happened at this tribal where somebody, you know, cause we get, it's so edited. Somebody probably looked at him in like a way of whatever. And it's almost like he was trying to mimic it back. But I just think he's emotionally seeing his name come up. He's excited. He's not going home, and he's so emotional. And he's so frustrated, and it's coming out as, sorry, Jake, being a dick to the people around him, because he did it to Kelly.
I don't know what he did. I have to watch it again, but it seemed a little like, what are you doing?
He like went to cross his legs and stare at her, and then I think he realized how
like dumb. In a Michaela Bradshaw.
Yeah, and I think he realized that was a really dumb decision, and so he stopped.
Ew.
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, I just think Jake's back is against the wall, and when your name is coming up, it's annoying. So I'm not going to fault him for it, but yeah, he's not going to get votes for it.
And he's trying, and it's tough because you're watching. He's like, what can I do? And Drew's like, okay. It's like, you know, he's not getting much.
Yeah.
It's hard. And it's one of those things where, like, I can't even be critical of this, but it's like, you almost have to come to them with an option, because saying like, it's like, Phil, what do you want to do tonight? And you're like, I don't know. What do you want to do? And then we don't do anything tonight. You know?
Because nobody actually says anything. And then it just becomes, I'm going to sit around. Yeah, that feels like.
But I
feel like D is the name, right? D is the head of the snake. Multiple people said tonight that if D sits at Final Three, she's going to end up winning the game. So that makes her a target. I also think that if D goes, Reba crumbles. I don't think D is going to go. I think tonight really showed that D, you know, they were talking about maybe we should get rid of Jake instead. And D said, no. Kendra wants me out. I'm voting for Kendra. That's it. Game over. And Julie didn't have the power to overturn that decision. So D is in control of that alliance. But I think if D goes home, that alliance kind of crumbles, because she is everybody's number one in that, except for Drew. But she's Austin's number one and she's Julie's number one. That's three in a group of four. So I think that's who they need to be targeting. And that is who Jake and Bruce are talking about targeting. But Jake, you can't tell Keturah that, because Keturah is going to do it. She even said tonight, I think I'm fifth in that group, but I'm going to go do it anyway.
Yeah.
It's one way to look at it, you know, I guess, you know, but maybe she's making the right decision. I don't know. I feel like Bruce isn't going next week.
No.
So it has to be Keturah or Jake, right? Like, it has to be.
I don't think Jake's going to go home. I think it's Keturah or...
Or a twist, or there's some sort of blindside.
Yeah, or I think this is where, like, I think Emily could be in trouble just because she put something out there and they gave her nothing. And we didn't really hear it from them that it went poorly, but we heard it from her. I think if Austin and Drew were like, I don't know, about, like, I don't like that she did that. I actually think they kind of protected her a little bit. They were like, we hear you and we're ignoring you.
Yeah.
But I think Emily can make something work. Bruce's idol has to be used. And I think this is so easy to be said from the couch, but Bruce's idol should not be played on him. Like tonight I was like, I was saying this too. I was like, why don't they all talk? Why doesn't Bruce save Kendra and they blow this up? But they probably just didn't want to, because he
didn't that's a little on Kendra and Keturah, because Kendra and Keturah were very openly anti-Bruce, and Bruce picked that up earlier, not in this episode, but in previous
episodes. I thought he was anti-Kendra first. No,
but either, it doesn't matter. Either way, they weren't really together aside from the fact that they both wore a blue buff at the beginning of the game. So that's how I feel about that. I just think that, you know, Bruce is never going to play this for Kendra because, okay, that helps him survive this week. Let's say Drew goes home. Kendra and Keturah still want to vote Bruce out of the game. It's not doing him any good.
Yeah, but you have to use that to break up the Ray before. Like, then it works a little bit better.
Yeah.
Emily and Bruce would be a fantastic unlikely alliance. But yeah, it's Keturah goes home, or I assume it would probably be Drew out of the four of them. Drew and Dee who get the votes.
That's what I think too. And Luke Green, he gave us $5. So, you know, that's always exciting. Thank you, Luke.
Thank you.
Why is it that most seasons have a zero vote final? Xander, Romeo, Owen, Carolyn, maybe Jake for the season. Well, Alexa and I actually talked about this in our Patreon, which was also $5, but it's for the whole month. But we did talk about that in the Patreon, where it just feels like right now, because of the way that they do the final tribal, there's a lot of groupthink already coming into the final tribal. And no matter how much these survivors say, we're open, there's pretty much always going to be one person that just isn't on anybody's radar. And I think right now, I think in this new era, it's very easy to pinpoint who has had little impact on who's gone home. And that makes it easy to say, I want to take that person with me to final tribal. Or when Romeo won immunity and earned his way into final tribal, it still didn't matter because he had no impact on anything that went on before that. He had no control. And Jake right now is in that exact position, which I think is also why Jake is so much more aggravated with what's going on. Because yeah. I think the reason Jake's looking at Kendra in this situation, I'm going to play therapist here and pretend that I know what the hell's going on in his head. But I think the reason that Jake was looking at Kendra in that way tonight is because I think there was a conversation earlier in this episode between Jake and Kendra, where Jake is saying, they're not going to work with you. They are ready to vote you out of this game. And Kendra probably gave him lip service and that was it. And then that was the end of that conversation. And I think that was almost Jake wanting to say, I told you that they are against you, because Kendra was blindsided tonight. She was about the only one. Nobody else was blindsided tonight. She was the only one who looked genuinely surprised she went home. Maybe Keturah, we don't really know because Keturah didn't have a vote. But that shouldn't have been so shocking to her. So I think that is more of where Jake was coming from with all of this. So I don't know. It's a frustrating place to be, because if you can't convince people that they need to work with you, you can't get votes at the end of this game anymore. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. And it sucks because it's also, this is the same case with Owen. It's happening so early.
Yeah.
Like there's so much gameplay left, and you have to think, like, this is where I hope this, like, Emily resistance comes to fruition. Like, Jake is right. He is a vote. Mm-hmm. And there are so few people left that vote can do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know it's two idols versus one idol, but you got a chance.
You have a chance. And so now we're going to get to final eight next week. Probably not going to have a normal vote, because God forbid. Yeah. But I still, because look, so far the random twists and advantages have all worked in favor of the Dominant Alliance. That's not how it's always going to be. It's the same thing as when the Idle Nullifier was played the first time. It changed the entire David versus Goliath game. And then when it was played the second time, it ruined Island of the Idols. Very different outcomes are going to happen every week. Yeah, so if they're going to keep getting your votes, something's going to happen.
No opinion on the outcomes. This is just.
Yeah.
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 For what I'm here for there being a majority alliance. I think it's very refreshing.
Yeah, I like it. I do. Yeah.
Also,
I do.
Julie and Bruce, hats off to the two of them. They are fantastic at challenges. I'm loving that it's them. I think it's great that they're developing a little challenge rivalry. I think it's great.
Yeah, I do too.
That should apply to be on Survivor.
I'm really happy for both of them, especially Julie, because the older woman always just gets destroyed on this show. They get under-edited. They get, you know, just tossed to the wayside. Julie had a pretty good episode tonight. She really did. Yeah. She was in it again. I thought Kendra, that challenge, man, my shoulders were popping out of their socket. Oh. That was brutal. But Kendra, and she was fighting hard. Julie was fighting hard. And I'm really impressed that Julie continues to be successful. I mean, we didn't talk about this challenge. I was fine with this challenge, and I love the comeback that the red team made in that first section. Jake couldn't get across that balance beam, and they got across. They figured it out. You, me, and Owen said the Austin, Katara, Emily team was going to be fine, and then they're the ones who lose. We suck. like, you know, I thought that was cool, and then I thought it was a fun stage challenge. I thought it was a nice twist on all of this. And yeah, Bruce versus Julie, if that's going to be the physical threats, this is why, you know, keep applying, like I think you said it, but just keep applying for Survivor no matter what age you're at, because the challenges are so much different than they used to be. And also, Mr. Manny brings up a great point. Apparently, Kyle Jason from Korong isn't a man, according to Jeff, because he won this challenge.
We can't just say these large statements without researching them.
We can't even trust Jeff. Like, I know when Jeff when Jeff's trying to sell the show to you, you're not supposed to be able to trust him, but when he's giving you facts about Survivor, you're supposed to be able to trust him. It's got to be the person who told him that has to be the same person who was editing the subtitles earlier in the year and was just spelling everything wrong. He has billions instead of villains. It has
to. There's also like this challenge has happened like 3 times.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not that many. I thought this challenge was awesome. I love the team-based challenges. I love, and I know some people would say this like takes away the suspense, but I think it's fun that there's different stages and that it broke them out. That was a nice long challenge too. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did you think now about when they went back and while some of them were suffering eating a rotisserie chicken, Dee and Drew were feasting on rice, eating pounds and pounds of rice, and then they couldn't believe that Jake had no rice at the end. Drew thought that some had been set aside. What did you think about that?
Take that rice. You take that rice.
Yeah. I loved his analogy there. That was a great analogy. Oh. He's a free agent. Well, I have all the money and I'm going to eat the damn rice. I love that.
I thought that was great. I thought you were saying, I hated his puberty analogy.
Oh yeah. Dude, you're only going one direction there.
It wasn't. Yeah.
He said, you don't know what the outcome's going to be. It's like, no, you pretty much know what the outcome's going to be.
I am by no means a biologist, but
yeah. Yeah.
There've been a few, I think like both Drew and Caleb, I've seen people complain about this, so I don't want to pile on, but like there are some pre-made analogies hanging out here, and I'm not here for them.
Yeah. I totally, totally agree with you.
That being said, eat that rice. I love that for them. I think this, I'm saying this with a very full belly. I need flavor in food, and I feel like the scraped rice on the bottom would have a little like char flavor to it.
Yeah, dirt.
I don't know if that makes me like a bottom fit. Yeah.
It's going to be dirt.
It's just sad salt water.
Yeah, it's just gross. I don't know. I mean, I agree with you, but remember that was the whole argument, right? In whatever season where it was, we want the crispy in Redemption Island. We want the crispy rice. You took the crispy rice.
Yeah.
You took the crispy. Because that's what Dalton Ross's sign off on all of his EW articles for the longest time was, for another scoop of the crispy. Yeah. I don't know if he still does that. I haven't read one of his articles in a while, but yeah, that was something. So I like this though. And this is where, you know, you can say what you want about alliances on Survivor. When an alliance is feeling comfortable, they start doing shit like that. And TV is good. When you start to get disgusted with a top tier alliance because they're treating the under alliance like shit, That's fun. And wasn't disgusted with Drew, but we could start getting there if they start really rubbing people's noses in it. But I don't know. Like, go out there and even if you hate everybody, your starting tribe, every single person on it, pretend you like them. You need to pretend that everybody is the most valuable person out there or you're never going to win Survivor. And Bello didn't do that. They did not do that. All of them. They're all guilty of it. They did not bond with each other in the way they needed to bond with each other. And they're in a lot of trouble. But I don't think this game's over by any means because Bruce has an idol. Jake is worth taking to the end. I'm going to be honest. I think Katara is worth taking to the end too. I don't think Katara's got any agency.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's just my opinion, but we'll have to see what twist we have next week.
I can't wait. We got some more blurred mouths tonight.
We did. So Dee had hers. Let me pull this up and make sure that I have all of the prop bet stuff. So who went home? So Kendra went home.
Uh-huh. Dee and Julie had their mouth blurred, but I think they both already have.
Yeah, they did. They did. So I'm going to go through Kendra real quick. She never got a hidden immunity idol. How many votes did Kendra end up with? Survivor 45 Wiki.
How many people even voted?
I know. That's the question, huh? So Kendra ended up with ended up with 6 votes tonight.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool. I did like the element of Austin running up to vote very quickly because he didn't want people to know that he had a vote. So that was a little bit different. But Kendra, those were the only votes Kendra got. So she doesn't land in our 5 or less or in our 10 or more. So that's brutal. She doesn't hit any of those. She never won individual immunity. She wasn't blindfolded. She made the jury.
Love that.
So that's good. She never hugged Jeff. She didn't sit out 3 times. I don't think she got 10 confessionals in an episode. I would be shocked if she got that tonight. I think she had a confessional in every episode though. So, and then Drew had the episode title, The Sword of Damocles. Are you familiar with this, Alexa?
No, I missed that one. Familiar with that?
Did you skip that day in whatever class you would have learned about that? Because I certainly did too.
Would it be English class, perhaps?
It sounded cool. I will say that. I'm going to give Drew that. It sounded really cool, but I'm going to look up what this is.
Yeah, what is it?
Oh, it's an oft-used symbol in modern hip-hop. An illusion used to impart the threat kingly rappers face. What? This is on Wikipedia.
I don't think that's what he was referencing.
I don't either. So that is how it is interpreported in modern day. But anyway, so imagine that's what Drew came out there and
these Gen Zers these days, I'm telling you.
It's an allusion to the imminent and ever-present peril faced by those in positions of power.
Oh.
Yeah, so okay. It's just saying
what's it from? What is
it from? It's, you know, ancient mythology or something. I don't know.
Well, Emily, I always love when people say this because it's like such a quote that gets me jazzed up. Because Emily was saying, I think it was Bruce, and she was like, if we come for them, we best not miss. Like that's always gets you going.
Yeah, that was an exciting one. I mean, Emily's going, man. She's ready. She's ready to make moves. Emily's just doesn't have much power at this point in the game. But you know, you got to go with the ebbs and flows. This episode might not even matter in the grand scheme of things. It might have just been the hour and a half before Thanksgiving that a lot of people probably missed, and they're gonna tune in next week and not feel like they missed that much.
Yeah, is Thanksgiving usually? I mean, there's no way that this would have been a good retrospective, but like they can't plan it. But I feel like Thanksgiving episodes are hit or miss.
I feel like, well, the 1 year it was incredible. It was the when Carl didn't get his alcohol on the reward and he was pissed and he was sitting on the bench and he didn't pick up the thing. I think that was the episode. I think that was that the episode where Carl played the I don't know if I or am I imagining
that? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Let's look it up.
Yeah, I have to look it up. I just remember watching that in an Atlantic City hotel room. So that was my life. That was my life Wednesday before Thanksgiving one time. So
happy there.
Which episode was it? The episode that it was Breadth First Search. I can never say that. And that is the one where the idol nullifier was used.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was a great episode.
Yeah. So there you go. So I think it just happens. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't matter. Tonight's I think is going to be the most polarizing episode of the season, but
yeah,
I'm fine. I like the Reba Alliance. And I've said that over and over, and I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it. And I was surprised Julie said she wants to go to the end with D.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe she doesn't realize how good of a game D is really playing, because I think she would realize that D is going to get the votes over her at Final Tribal. But Julie's playing a pretty impressive game. And she that's going to help, especially with the physical portion. If she wins a couple immunities, she could win. She could get some votes at the end of this game for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like, not everyone's going to wants to go to the end with, well, you have to go to the end with two people. So
yeah.
I think like D is who she's aligned to. So that sort of is what it is, but yeah. It'll be interesting to see, because it's the gals versus the guys. Mm-hmm. And Emily's closer to the guys, but Emily just got mipped. I think Emily has more power than other people who are not in the Reba before. And I think that is strictly because of her personality. She has that like vote whipping aspect of her. She has that personality. She commands it. And I think that'll bode well for her.
Yeah, I agree with you. From the standpoint of the fantasy game, because mm-hmm. you're speaking of Emily and it reminds me, Emily, Julie, Jake, and Katara are at 8.5 points because they haven't done anything special yet this season. Bruce had his child photo up there, though, so that was an extra point for anybody.
Such a cute
Bruce.
Childhood photo.
And he has two immunity wins now. So Bruce has been – right now Bruce is the MVP, and he's on your team, Alexa. I let you have him, and I took Austin instead. So starting to regret that.
Two idols, too. You got a chance.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I got plenty of opportunities for a successful advantage play and things like that. But Kendra went home. She ended up with 9.5 points because she had the child photo. But yeah, that was really it. I'm not doing a after show tomorrow. I'll have to do that on Friday or something. I don't see myself doing it on Thanksgiving as much as I'm thankful for all of our patrons. I'm not doing it.
Not that thankful.
But seriously, if you're not a $10 patron now, Alexa and I did a little. I put Alexa on the spot. I made her come up with what her favorite episodes of our podcast was. Since she's on her way out, I was like, "What do you got? What's your thing? What do you got?" So it was a fun conversation that made us both want to run through a wall, and also made us 15 minutes late.
Yeah. It was fun. I want to do something. I don't know if we'll do it for like the finale recap. I don't know if we'll even talk to players. Phil and I have not really talked about that yet, yeah. But like we'll do something, because it was really fun to relive the glory days.
The glory days. The build up to season 40 really was the best time to be alive. But become a patron anyway. Patreon.com/survivorspecialist. January. Lots of stuff coming. You know, we just did our retro and our Q&A tonight, though. So those were both fun. And, you know, everybody else is into the middle of the fantasy game. So if you're trying to play a fantasy game, you got no shot at this point. But next season you will. And there's going to be a lot more content every week, weekly content, two times a week, three times a week, numerous times a week for the $20 patrons. It's coming. So be ready.
Guys, next month is my final Q&A podcast and my final retrospective podcast. So become at least a $5 patron so that you can ask a question in our Discord. This is last you'll ever see of me. Not me.
Also, last ever.
I mean,
Alexis.
I never should have said that if Emily wins, I'm coming back. But I mean, Phil has not consented to this. But I mean,
Alexa's moving to the middle of Alaska, like the middle. Like she's gonna be on Life Below Zero. That's where we're talking about here. She is done.
Gone.
Yeah. Everybody keeps asking. I don't know though. Emily's winner's arc is taking massive hits week after week. I'm not buying it, Alexa. I don't think you even need to lose sleep over the fact that you'd have to come back, because I'm not seeing it.
I don't think it's got it.
It's only because you're sitting in the rich room right now. If you were sitting in your normal room, you'd be like, I hate this.
I know someone, what if I was like, yeah, I'm in a courtroom. That's what someone said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just broke into one. And yeah, I couldn't find a podcast tonight.
Night before Thanksgiving courtroom that everybody goes to.
That everyone goes. Yeah, it's all the bars that my high school friends are at, for sure. So yeah, become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. We have a very special guest coming on Monday at 9 Eastern, right?
It is 9 Eastern. Yeah, that is official.
The champion of casting himself.
Damn. All right.
Adam Klein will be joining us to speak his truth and to do the predictions and power rankings of the final 8 in Survivor 45. Very, very excited to have him. It's actually been, I don't know if we had him last season. It's been a minute since we've talked to him. Quite a bit has gone on in between now and then, but we're very, very excited to chat with him and hear what he's been up to and hear his take on this season, especially after this very controversial episode. So
yeah,
tune in for them this coming Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And wait, for those of you who celebrate, have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Well, Jimbo says, if Emily wins, we dance on the graves of the Reba Four. My God, this guy hates the Reba Four. And I'm a, you know what, Jimbo, if the Reba Four win, but the next three boots aren't all Bello, you got to become a patron or something, because you have been on a heater in there right now. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. It's here.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And watch the Lions, 12:30 PM Eastern time. If they lose, know that I'm not thankful for shit. If they win, know that I'm very thankful, because they're 9-2. For anybody who is wondering, they are 8-2 for the first time since 1962.
Wow.
My dad was not born yet. Just throwing that out there. So here we are, as somebody who has been a lifelong Lions fan. My dad never even saw them turn 8-2 until I saw them turn 8-2. So what a time to be alive, kids. It's everything to be thankful for. Watch Jared Goff throw all over the Green Bay Packers and be thankful that it's not a normal Lions team and it's a good one, because my God, were they brutal to watch all those years.
I'm so happy for your entire family.
Yeah, thank you. You should be really happy mainly just for Rachel, who's going to have to be the only one with me tomorrow on Thanksgiving, because if the Lions lose, man, that ham she's going to spend all day cooking is getting thrown on the ground.
Isn't it ham? Just,
oh, I love ham. I hate turkey. I like turkey, but it's the one time a year where
turkey is not good.
Yeah, eating ham is so much better. I'm so much more into ham. Love a big ham.
Do you do the same sides just with a ham?
Yeah, we do like all that. I mean, she loves all the sides to like such an extreme. She like she's making about 20 sides for the two of us. It's absurd, but
I think that sounds fair.
Yeah. Yeah. We are eating turkey burgers for lunch though, because it's the two of us. So that's my Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. Alexa's about to jump out the window behind her if I keep talking. So we'll see you all on Monday night. Also tune in 5 minutes. John and I are talking about Thor Ragnarok and Thanksgiving the movie. So if you're really excited for Thanksgiving, listen to John and I talk about Thanksgiving the movie, the Eli Roth movie, slasher movie that came out this week. What a load of fun that thing was. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out this weekend. Don't go see any of the other movies that are coming out. See Thanksgiving. It was a damn good time. Actually, go see Napoleon too, because Ridley Scott's cool. Okay, bye.
I love that every time you're like, tune in for the